Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice always. It's not always easy, is it? Give thanks in all circumstances. I'm going to start by telling you a story of Goha. And Goha is a mythical figure, and stories about Goha are told throughout the Middle East and Turkey. Sometimes he's a trickster, sometimes he's a philosopher, and often he's a fool. Stories are usually humorous, and they often provide some important insight. So I want to begin by telling you one story of Goha. One night, Goha looked out of the window and saw a large figure of a man standing in the garden in the moonlight, his arms outstretched wide. Goha hurriedly woke his wife. "Bring me my bow and arrows," he said. "There's some dangerous fellow in our garden." He drew back his bow and loosed an arrow. And the arrow hit the apparition in the belly. "That will teach you to meddle with me," said Goha proudly. But he was afraid to go out into the garden all the same. "We'll leave him until the morning," he said. The next day he went out into the garden and saw an arrow sticking out of his robe, which had been hanging on the line to dry. Goha fell on his knees and began to give loud thanks to God. "Why are you praying so fervently?" asked his wife. "Can you not see?" he replied. "My arrow went right through the middle of my robe. What would have happened to me if, but for the mercy of Allah, I had been wearing it at the time?" Give thanks to God. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. These are the words of Paul in his first letter to the persecuted church of Thessalonica. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. When I hear these words, I can't help but think of my time in Cairo, Egypt, my 3 years I spent there. In Egypt, thanksgiving is always on people's lips. It's part of the everyday greeting. In Canada, we ask someone, "How are you?" and the standard response is "fine" or "good" or something like that. "How are you doing?" "Fine." In Egypt, the normal response is different. In Egypt, when someone asks how you're doing, the normal reply is "Alhamdulillah," thanks be to God. "How are you doing?" "Thanks be to God." We respond with "fine," they respond with "thanks be to God." Whether they're doing very well or doing very poorly, whether they're on top of the world or the bottom of the heap, "How are you?" "Alhamdulillah," thanks be to God. And I like saying that. I'll just say it again. Alhamdulillah. It kind of rolls off my tongue. But I remember one time in particular that I couldn't stop saying it. I'd been sick, really, really sick. Throwing up, diarrhea, fever, the whole bit. The worst that it was in those 3 years in Egypt for me. Not only that, but it was my 30th birthday weekend. And my students had an outing planned, my ESL students, and they went without me. And my colleagues had a party, and they had a cake, and they ate the cake without me. I must admit, I wasn't feeling all that thankful. I remember thinking about this expression, and how I didn't feel like saying it, or giving thanks to God. And then I remember the day that it ended, and I remember feeling better, and I remember for the first time in a number of days being able to go outside and walk down the road, celebrating my health and my life, and saying over and over to myself, "Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, thanks be to God." And in general, in Egypt, alhamdulillah, it's kind of like "fine" is here. It becomes a response that's given very little thought, the standard reply. One doesn't think too much about what it means, about the important, profound theology that's part of your everyday greeting. And every time you greet someone, every time someone greets me, you're giving thanks to God. In every interaction, you're testifying to the reality and centrality of God. In Egypt, they're doing what Paul asks of the church at Thessalonica: give thanks in all circumstances. I remember one time I asked a man how he was doing, and I didn't just get the standard response, "Alhamdulillah." I didn't know him very well, but he proceeded to list all the problems in his life. It was a lengthy litany, quite a bit more than I'd really asked for. He had family troubles, he'd lost his job, he wasn't happy with his neighbors, he was feeling sick. The list went on and on. This was a man whose life was truly a wreck. And then, after this recitation of all these problems in his life, he looked up. But, alhamdulillah. Give thanks in all circumstances. Not easy to do. Couldn't have been easy for this man. Couldn't have been easy for the church at Thessalonica that Paul wrote to. This church was a persecuted church. Thessalonica was an important Roman center, the capital of the province of Macedonia. And they had regular opportunities there for residents to publicly declare their allegiance to Rome and the Roman Emperor. In claiming the lordship of Christ, the church refused to participate in this public oath-taking. In response, the civic authorities took strong measures against this fledgling church. And there were self-styled vigilantes from the community who attacked the members of the church without fear of retribution. A number of followers of Christ had already been killed at the time that Paul writes this first letter to them. It's a persecuted church that Paul encourages to rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances. So why does Paul say it to them? Why does he make a point of encouraging thanksgiving? Why this emphasis on giving thanks in all circumstances and situations? First, I think I want to say a disclaimer. Paul isn't denying reality, and he isn't asking the Thessalonians or us to either. He doesn't say to give thanks for all circumstances. He tells the Thessalonians to give thanks in all circumstances. It's not about being grateful for the misfortunes that happen in our lives. It's not about welcoming hardships or celebrating adversity. But somehow it is about developing an attitude of thankfulness, about knowing that God is at work in all circumstances. It's about being shaped by our trust in and reliance on God. Now, I think there are some dangers on either side. In abundance, it's easy for our perspective to shift. It's easy to lose our reliance on God. It's easy to believe that we're taking care of ourselves and that we are self-sufficient and autonomous. It's easy to believe that we don't need God when things are going well, that our prosperity is the result of our own abilities, that we're fully independent. When we give thanks to God, it's a reminder that we're not alone and that we're not self-sufficient. Thanksgiving helps us to know that we rely on God, that every good thing comes from God. There's a song of thanksgiving that I enjoy where, as you sing it, you give thanks for various things in your life and you kind of make up the verses as you go along. It goes like this. Lord, we thank you for the family that you gave us in this world. Or Lord, we thank you for the music that you gave us in this world. And you make up the verses as you go along. And the chorus emphasizes the many things to be grateful for. We've got many, many things to thank you for, so many, many things to thank you for. But whatever you've chosen to thank God for, as you sing, the final verse is always, Lord, we thank you for the things that we don't have in this world. What does that mean? We give thanks for the things we don't have in this world. We give thanks that we don't have everything that we desire. A reminder against self-sufficiency and prosperity gospel. A reminder that all comes from God. There's a different danger in hard times and difficult circumstances. The danger of losing hope, of losing the ability to see light in the darkness. Perhaps Thanksgiving is one way of finding hope when things seem bleak. A woman who was suffering from depression was given this seemingly simple assignment by her counselor. Every day, think of 5 things that you're grateful for. Any 5 things, even simple things. Like today, I was able to get out of bed. Or this morning, my roommate made tea for me. While this assignment may seem simple, for this woman suffering from depression, it was not easy. She persevered, every day looking for five things to be thankful for. And for her, this constant striving to be grateful was part of her journey towards health. Thanksgiving shapes us. It shifts our attitudes and our understanding of our reality. I have two friends who recently turned 50, and they've been posting daily on Facebook a first 50 days of being 50 gratitude journal, naming something to be grateful for every day. And sometimes it isn't easy, and they name that it isn't easy. At least one of them has had some really hard stuff going on in her life. But they're continuing these journals and trying to be formed by gratitude as they enter this decade of life. Thanksgiving shapes us. But more than that, Thanksgiving also makes claims about the world, and it makes claims about God. When we give thanks to God, we're declaring something about who God is. We're saying that God is someone who is active in the world. Not only has God done great things in the past, but God continues to work in the world now, and God will continue to create possibility in the future. We're saying that God is present in our lives. When we give thanks to God, we're celebrating possibility and hope. We're claiming that ultimately God is in control. In a world that is more and more indifferent to God or even denies the existence of God, our thanksgiving is clear testimony to the reality of God. Many of the Psalms are exuberant in their praise and thanksgiving. Often they emphasize who God is and God's place in the world, and the thanksgiving grows out of this awareness. From Psalm 100, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Thanksgiving because we belong to God, because God is faithful, because God is good, and God's love endures. Not that the Psalms ignore the reality of suffering any more than Paul does. Psalms of lament are also important and give voice to the painful realities of our lives. But often petition and lament and thanksgiving come together. And even challenging God and saying, "God, do something about this situation," grows out of an attitude of gratefulness. Psalm 108, the psalmist is having trouble seeing God at work. And he questions God, "Have you not rejected us, O God?" And then the psalmist goes on to petition God for help in the midst of difficulties. And in this difficult situation, where there's also questioning about where is God in this situation, the psalmist opens the psalm with thanksgiving. "Awake, O harp and lyre, I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you." And then the psalm continues to name the troubles and the questioning and all of that, but connected somehow with thanksgiving. There's a remarkable attitude of thanksgiving in the Psalms that helps us shape our faith and helps us to prioritize God. Sometimes in the midst of difficult situations, it's a decision to strive to be thankful. I'm amazed by these words of a couple who recently lost a young child. And they write, "Although pain and sadness are dominant forces in our current story, today we also work to weave in gratitude." And then, "So as our hearts hurt as we notice the constant reminders of his absence, we will continue the long, hard journey of making sure they remind us to remain thankful as well." This family is striving to hold together their incredible pain with an attitude of gratitude. An amazing testimony from an extremely hard place, and so hard to do. Bring these things together. And I do want to acknowledge that there are times when we just can't rejoice or give thanks. Times when life is just too hard for whatever reason. Times when lament is what comes to our lips. And you know, that's okay. That's okay when there are times when it is too hard to give thanks. I think that's part of what the church is for. To lament with us, to pray when we can't, and to give thanks when we can't. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians wasn't actually addressed to individuals. He was addressing a church, and the verbs are plural. When he writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances," he isn't saying it to just me or just to you. He's saying it collectively to the church. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And sometimes we can rely on our fellow Christ followers, and sometimes they can rely on us. Today is Thanksgiving, and we are giving thanks to God here at North Church. And for some of us, we may not be in a space where we're thinking that we're able to be thankful, and yet communally, as a congregation, we are giving thanks. I think that's part of the gift of a church community, that we can rely on each other to do these things when we can't ourselves. So Thanksgiving Sunday, and we're gathered as a community in joy and thanksgiving and gratitude. And some of us are filled with that joy and happiness and find it easy. And some are struggling with grief and illness and depression and find it much more difficult to give thanks today. And so on this Thanksgiving Sunday, may we as a community be shaped by an attitude of thanksgiving. May we know that we are reliant on God. With our gratefulness, may we proclaim the ongoing work of God in the world. And may we respond to our Creator with thanksgiving in all circumstances. Alhamdulillah. Thanks be to God. Amen.